Advice just got real.
So, hi Holly.
Hi Liz.
And this is our episode one of Advice Just Got Real.
Yeah, welcome.
Yeah, so I think we'll probably go straight in with a question, shall we?
Go for it.
And I was actually, it's a bit of a lightweight question, I was just at a 70th birthday party chatting about this.
Wild, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Living the high life.
4 p.m. start kickoff, you know. And we were discussing this question and it caused quite a lot of hilarity at the table.
Okay.
And some explanations. So this is from Heidi, who writes into us and says, "Dear Holly and Liz, just wondering what you think the appropriate dress code is to a baby gender reveal party."
Oh my god, okay.
"I'm told it's in a pub function room. A posh pub, but still a pub. On a related note, is it possible to attend such an event whilst maintaining a healthy dose of what the fuck? And do you think I need to buy a present? Heidi."
Oh my god. Well,
so at the 70th birthday party, and there was a great, there was an age range, you know.
Okay,
like,
and what did they think?
Well, I had to explain what a gender reveal party was, first of all, because a lot of them didn't know. One guy thought that it was when you change gender and reveal. Which sounds way more fun.
That sounds amazing. But there's only like two genders that you can be, surely. So if you were normally a man, he said, "Please come to my gender reveal party."
No, but it's
not
like,
much of a reveal.
Yeah, so it'd be like the change of, like, you would be revealing what type of woman you are now. You know, with
surprise,
you dressing.
I'm
yeah,
a woman now.
Well, no, whether you like dress in high heels and leopard print,
okay,
or whether
okay,
you, you know, don't.
Yeah, okay.
But no, so I had to explain what a gender reveal party was. And then there was basically a lot of what the fuck, as Heidi says. What, I mean,
it's very American though, isn't it? They often do it, you know, like with the coloured cake.
Yeah, so do you think, should we explain what a gender reveal party is?
I think, oh gosh, I mean, well, go ahead.
It's an American thing, isn't it, where you don't, the bride and groom, the mum and dad, expectant mum and dad of pregnant woman, go to the sonographer, put the sex of the baby in like a sealed envelope.
They don't know, the sonographer knows.
The sonographer knows, she puts the sex in a sealed envelope, and then one of you decides that you're going to find out, or you give the sealed envelope to like a baker or your mum or dad or something.
Yeah, they take it to a bakery.
Yeah, and the baker makes the cake.
Yeah.
And the sponge is coloured on the inside, pink or blue, and then it's covered in a neutral colour, isn't it? And then you cut into the cake,
and then
woohoo, the
knows.
Whole party and the mum and dad and whatever discover what sex the baby is.
Well, I think it's completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Completely ridiculous. I just don't. I mean, who's got the spare cash when they're having a baby to go and get like professional cakes made and throw parties? And who cares? Like, who really bothered? Like, the mum and dad are probably bothered, but not bothered, because as long as you have a healthy baby, like, you don't really care what it is.
No one cares.
But why does like your neighbour care? Nobody cares.
No one cares. I mean, I think to be fair to Americans, they just love an excuse for a party, don't they? And it's another excuse for a party.
No, they love an excuse for presents.
And they love an excuse for a kind of themed party. And they would theme it, they would be bunting,
they love,
you know.
They love an excuse for, I hope there's no Americans listening. It's all about, like, attention to me and...
And do you know what's great about it? They're not, they're unabashed about that. And that's fine.
Oh, no, I don't like it.
But that's because we're British, isn't it? We're not American.
But I don't even like baby showers, to be honest.
No.
They make me feel quite uncomfortable.
So my immediate thoughts for Heidi were...
Don't go.
No, I wouldn't not go. I mean, it wouldn't be high up. But what is the appropriate dress code? Anything. From pyjamas to black tie. Like, wear what the hell you want, Heidi. On a related note, is it possible to attend such an event whilst maintaining a healthy dose of what the fuck? I would say no. If you're going to attend, you need to, like, get in the spirit of it, really.
Do
Don't you turn know? Up and be that misery guts in the corner being an idiot.
You could just turn up and have a swift drink and leave.
Yeah, and then, do I need to buy a present? Absolutely
no.
Not. I don't even buy presents for baby showers. I generally take a bunch of flowers. I don't buy something.
I don't really get invited to many baby showers, but when I have done, I've bought them a present, but then not given a present when the baby's been born.
Well, yeah, they're not... Exactly. So I reserve the present for when the baby's born.
I would rather...
And then give them something in the baby shower, like a candle or a some flowers.
But wouldn't you rather you got a present when your baby was born and someone was like, oh, I chose this because I thought it would really suit your baby, or...
Well, it's meant to be bad luck, isn't it? I gave a present, I'm sure my friend Catherine won't mind me saying, I gave a baby present to my friend Catherine. A very small baby present, actually. It was just quite a small cuddly toy when she was pregnant.
Right.
And she was accepted it and was thankful, but was like, you know, it's kind of bad luck before the baby's born to get presents in case something bad happens. Oh. And I was like, is it?
That's quite superstitious,
isn't it? Yeah, and she's not superstitious, and she took the present, and she did have presents before the baby was born, but a few people have repeated that to me, so now...
Just don't mess with a pregnant woman. Basically, Heidi, just turn up and smile and do what's expected of you, otherwise you're going to piss this woman off. Because she's pregnant.
Because we don't know who this woman is. It could be, like, a casual acquaintance, or it could be, like, a sister. Yeah. We've got no idea, have we?
Heidi's going to make the cake.
I know, yeah, but,
oh,
yeah.
Poor Heidi.
Yeah, so, it isn't when you're coming out as a change of gender.
I'd love it if it was, and she just got it mixed up. In which case, take a present.
Yeah, yeah. So no, that was a. I mean, the advice from the baby shower basically was don't go. From the 70th birthday party.
Oh really?
People just thought it was ridiculous.
Well, I do think it's ridiculous. I think if Heidi's got something better to do, go for that. Do that. Just do what you want.
Or alternatively, if you really love cake, just go and get a slice of cake.
You mean like pink or blue cake?
Yeah, pink or blue cake, go and do it.
Oh, okay, well, I've got a question here that someone's written into us, which is quite interesting and also baby related.
Oh,
so
okay.
They've said, Dear Holly and Liz, my husband and I were at university with our friend Jenny. I hope Jenny's not listening. Well, I do hope Jenny's listening because I'd like us to be a success, but at the same time, let's hope her name has been changed. Jenny's now married to another one of our friends who we introduced her to, who they're calling Jeff. So Jenny has always been a little bit wearing. To be quite frank, the woman is self-obsessed, they've said.
Oh,
we've
right.
put that down to the angst of being a young 20-something.
So they were never that friendly, were they?
Well, no, she's always obviously been quite annoying. She's probably got worse as she's gotten older, but we've always kept in touch with them because, you know... Jeff is okay, but to be honest, he's so wet with her, always pandering to her whims. For instance, she made him leave our friend's wedding when she had a mild headache and made the whole occasion a big circus for her. She does sound annoying.
I mean, that would massively pee me off.
Yeah.
I actually don't really like women or men that make their partner leave the thing they're at together just for a minor reason for them.
But why leave?
Do you know what I mean? If you've got a minor headache, just leave.
Oh, but it's somebody's wedding, you've got a minor headache.
Yeah, but don't make your other half leave too.
Yeah. Well, anyway. So Jeff and Jenny have now had a baby, and they've asked me and my husband to be godparents. She's so annoying about the child. So the child has to have handmade baby purees, expensive clothes, can't be held by anyone else after 5 p.m, yada yada.
Is that a thing?
I don't know. Well, obviously it is to Jeff and Jenny. We feel nothing for this child except pity. And don't want to be bound to bloody Jenny for the rest of our lives. How can we politely say no?
Well, the obvious answer to that is if they're not religious, they can say, you know, godparents are meant to be the spiritual, you know, guidance for the baby. Neither of us regularly attend church anymore, or neither of us, you know, have been... I mean, you have to be christened, don't you, to be a godparent?
No, I'm not christened, I'm a godparent.
Okay. But you are meant to be the kind of spiritual... role of the godparent.
But, yeah.
So if they've got a legitimate reason to say, I'm going to clear to go to church every week, then that's not... They can't really get out of it like that. But if they don't go to church every week or whatever, then they could say, look, I know that it's not so strict these days, but for us... We understand the role of godparents to be that kind of spiritual guidance, and we're not comfortable that we can fulfil that role.
Yeah, but you don't know. Then they might come back and say, well, actually all we want is you to be in this baby's life. You don't have to have the official ceremony, but, you know, they might come up with another way around it. That's the difficulty with making an excuse, is Jeff and Jenny might not take no for an answer.
So what would you do?
Well, do you know, I'm inclined to say be really honest with them. And say, like, we don't feel close enough to you, actually.
I think you could be honest with them, and that's fine, and I'm generally for honesty, but it sounds like Jenny particularly would not take that well, and well, so you need to be well. You need to be prepared for that. That might be the end of the friendship. And if that's if
it sounds like they don't want to be friends.
Yeah,
with
if
her.
You're okay with that, then honesty is definitely the best policy. If for whatever reason you would like to maintain that, you know, thread of friendship, that's a risk.
I think if they say we don't want to do it because we don't like you, essentially, however they put it. You know, however they
well, it doesn't matter how they put it. If you've asked someone to be your parents' godchild and they're friends that you see relatively regularly and they say no, then you know that there's an issue. Like,
yeah, but maybe this is an opportunity for Jenny to sort herself out, because I think, you know, perhaps
she's not going to sort herself out.
She's obviously very anxious.
She's in her 30s. She's got a kid. This is who she is now. This is her personality. Like.
Mm. Write her off, Liz.
Maybe. Well, I think it's unrealistic to ask people to change too much.
It is, but perhaps she is sort of like more anxious now because she's got a baby. Like, maybe she's not coping that well. So maybe if they said, look, you know, actually, Jenny, we feel a bit uncomfortable with you. You know, we know that you're very particular about the baby, and, you know, we're worried that actually we would do something wrong. You make us feel quite anxious with the way that you are, you know, then perhaps that would be a bit of a wake-up call to her that she needs to relax, because it sounds like she's being a bit OTT. So maybe if she obviously values their friendship. So maybe if they said that to her, you know, she's either going to fall out with them or she's going to listen to them. So maybe that's what they could do.
Yeah. It sounds like honesty is the only true way.
Yeah.
The true way out. But it is hard to have these conversations though, isn't it?
Oh, I'd totally wimp out and do it by text.
I mean, I'd probably wimp out and play the God card, you know, I'm not close enough to God, and just hope that they took the subliminal message of, I don't want to do this because you're acting a bit crazy at the minute, you know.
Well, good luck. Good luck to them.
Good luck indeed.
So, what have we got next?
Okay, so we're rattling on through them today, aren't we? Solving problems left, right, and centre. So this is an interesting one that I've chosen this letter from a lady called Mary, who tells me she's in her sort of 50s. Well, in her 50s, that's what she says. She says, "Dear Holly and Liz, my friend has recently been staying with me whilst she was in between flats. This has been fine and we're getting on well. However, a week or so ago, I found that £300 cash I kept in the house for a rainy day went missing. Uh-oh. I kept this in the boiler cupboard, and I think I told my mate about it a couple of years ago, that it's there for emergency cash or, you know, that type of thing. Well, a door-to-door salesman came round last week, and I always feel obliged to buy some dishcloths I don't need. I mean, we've all been there. I normally get the feather duster.
Have you ever had a door salesman come round? Well, I did, and he threatened to punch me in the face, so I called the police. I certainly didn't go to the airing cupboard and get some cash out.
Oh my God, that's awful.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't feel obliged to buy stuff off them, because it's hideously overpriced, but I know my brother does.
Oh, really?
He feels that they're like...
I didn't even know this was a thing, door-to-door dishcloth.
Do you know
sales?
Them coming around?
It's this one time when I called the police.
Yeah, I think it happens more in big cities, but it's kind of like...
It's a rehab thing, isn't
it? It's kind of like the big issue seller, but a bit more than that. And my brother always feels that at least they're trying to do something for themselves. Okay. So he always does, you know, give them 20 quid for a dishcloth. As clearly Mary does. So anyway... She says, last week a door-to-door salesman came round and I felt obliged to buy some dishcloths I don't need, so I went to the boiler cupboard and the money was gone.
Uh-oh.
I don't know who could have taken it except my friend. Plus, she has recently got a new watch which looks expensive, but I've not asked her about it. I've not mentioned any of this to her, but I feel like I want her to move out, although her new flat isn't ready for 2 more weeks. I'm not sure I want to confront her about the money or call the police. I just want her to move out. What should I do?"
Oh, goodness. I mean, personally, I think you have to be extremely careful before you point the finger at somebody.
I agree, because I read that and I've been mulling on this overnight when I was looking at our emails and deciding what to talk about. You know... that money could have fallen off the boiler cupboard. It could be down the back of the cupboards.
I mean, when did she last see it?
Exactly. I mean, I don't keep a wad of cash in my house, but my gran used to, and that used to get missing all the time. And then when she died, we found like so much cash in that house. Yeah, she just put it somewhere and not need it for 6 months because also, you don't. And
in an airing cupboard as well. Like, there's so much stuff going in and out.
What's in the boiler cupboard? Oh, my boiler cupboard's in my kitchen, so there's nothing else in there aside from the boiler.
But she might have, you know, like loads of towels in there and stuff. Like, lots of people do, don't they? Maybe it's sort of like wrapped up in one of them or something.
It could be anywhere. So I agree. We don't know that her friend has stolen this money.
Definitely don't call the police.
And the watch thing is completely irrelevant to me. Like, she could have just bought herself a new watch.
I think Mary's jumping the gun here. Yeah. She's obviously decided that her friend has taken it.
She has, but she still say in the email, and as always, we've only got the limited information that people email us, but she has said, you know, she doesn't want to confront her, she doesn't want to call the police. She is just now feeling insecure with this other person living in the house, isn't she?
It sounds like Mary has invited this person into her home, and now she's realised that she possibly doesn't trust her. Because, I mean, if you came to stay in my house while you're waiting for somewhere and some money went missing, my first conclusion would not be that you had taken the money.
Yeah.
I would be thinking, oh, what did I do with that money?
I would probably even say to you, Holly, I've lost this money that I used to keep.
Will you help me find it?
In the so-and-so.
Yeah.
Has something happened to it? Have you moved it because you found this water cache and you thought that's not a safe place? Like, what's happened to this money?
I would never in a million years think that you would take any money from my boiler cupboard.
No.
Probably because there isn't any in there.
And I don't think I'd ask anyone to stay with me that I didn't have that confidence.
So I think Mary's feeling a bit, she's realised now, actually, I've invited this person into my home and I don't trust her.
She's lost her confidence. Maybe deep down, she's worried that she's misplaced this money and she's just feeling less secure for whatever reason.
She doesn't want this person. But I don't think she can confront her. And I think that she needs to be really careful about this affecting their friendship. Because, you know, it sounds like it's going to. She's obviously harbouring some, you know, resentment towards this woman now. But Mary's made a commitment to have this lady stay in her home. And she's really going to be leaving her in the lurch if she asks her to leave, really based on not very much at all.
If we're seeing this woman hasn't stolen the money, you know, it's going to come completely out of the blue from her. They've been getting on well, as Mary concedes. You know, they had this agreement. I don't know how long they've been living together, but there's 2 weeks left of the agreement.
Not a long time.
She wouldn't have made alternative arrangements.
No.
I'm assuming there probably aren't alternative arrangements.
Which is why she's staying with Mary. I mean, if there are alternative arrangements that she could make, like if her, you know, family member lives close by, then Mary could say, oh, you know, it would be really nice if I could have a little bit of space, or I've got a friend I've got coming to stay at the weekend, I wonder if you could, you know, maybe go and stay at mum's house or something. She could try that, but her friend will be offended.
It's not going to end well. Mary-Anne needs to accept that there's going to be a dent in the relationship, or she's just got to suck it up and let her stay there.
If someone accused me of taking money, that the friendship would be over. Because I would just think you do not know me at all.
Yeah, I think the only way that I wouldn't be offended is if Mary approached it in the way which it sounds like she needs to, because it sounds like this is where it's coming from, where someone sat me down and said, look, I need to be honest with you about how I'm feeling. I have this money in the boiler, as you know about.
Yeah.
It's not there anymore. I don't know where it is. I feel really insecure that I've lost it or that something's happened. You know, there's no reason for me to think it's you, but I'm suddenly feeling like
a bit insecure.
I've lived by myself for all this time. I don't know if that's true or not, you know, and help me out here. And if that was done in the right way, from a very honest place, then I might be with that person, if I knew them well enough, be able to help them through that and kind of be like, okay, let's really look for this cash. Like, I really haven't taken it, you know, let's...
I would still be offended.
Would you?
I would be.
Yeah.
I'd be really, really offended. Do you think that we're going to see Mary on Jeremy Kyle next week? Lie detector test. This is just the sort of scenario he has.
I know,
and
but in my head, Mary is, you know,
sweet old lady.
Yeah, I mean, well, she's only 50.
Oh, I missed that bit.
She's in her 50s.
Sorry, that's not old.
She's in her 50s, so she's not old, but I don't have her pegged as the Jeremy Kyle type. Maybe she is.
Maybe she is. Maybe we'll see. No, I think Mary needs to suck it up. Maybe look for the cash. Maybe that's the first thing that Mary needs to do.
Yeah, I mean, she's not said...
turn the house upside down.
Yeah, she's not said that she's done that, so...
And maybe she should say to her friend... I mean, she's expecting the friend to have remembered for 2 years where the money is. This is, a bit of a far-fetched plan that the friend's come to get 300 quid off her. But I think she needs to say to the friend, I've lost some money, can you help me find
it? Yeah, that's what I think that's the only way to come out of this. Because it's not that much cash by today's standards.
It might be by Mary's standards.
Yes, fair enough, Holly, that's true. I just... These are awkward situations, and this is why, inviting people to live with you, giving people money, lending people money,
money.
This is why it gets difficult, isn't it? Because things happen, and it's a shame because it doesn't feel like Mary's going to let anyone stay with her ever again.
I know. Mary's obviously quite paranoid. I mean, why is she jumping to these conclusions? Maybe Mary's got something she needs to work through.
Also, as we used to tell my grand, you really don't need £300 in cash in your house.
No.
There are very few scenarios where you need £300 in cash.
Yeah, such an odd
immediately.
Amount of money. 50 quid maybe. Tenner.
Yeah, I mean, I never have a cash.
No, I'm
ever.
Terrible.
And I've never thought, gosh, I could really do with £300 cash right now. I wish I had that in my boiler cupboard.
Well,
the electrician man comes around with a card.
Yeah.
With a card reader thing.
So, what are we saying to Mary? Ask your friend to help you look for the money.
I think really to salvage the friendship, you need to be honest with the friend and say you've lost the money. Can you help me with it?
I've lost my money. Can you help me find it? And then
friend acts all weird and goes a bit funny, then okay, the friend's stolen it. Yeah, exactly.
And if it isn't obvious that she's taking the money, then I think Mary needs to let her have this 2 weeks at home. And do you know what? I bet at the end of the 2 weeks, the friend is going to turn around and be so grateful to Mary, she'll be feeling quite guilty that she's even ever thought that she could take the money.
Yeah. We've just assumed, haven't we, that Mary's the bad guy in this situation. Maybe her friend has stolen the money.
She might not be, but, you've always got to behave as graciously as you can, and you shouldn't jump to a conclusion that somebody's taking money.
Mm.
It's one of the worst things that you can accuse somebody of, really, isn't it?
Mm. Why would she have been friends with someone for so long?
Yeah.
And that person is actually not a nice person.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, obviously it happens, and then, these friendships end, but without any concrete evidence, I think she needs to tread really carefully. This poor woman's going to be like, oh, Mary's chucked me out of the house and I've no idea why and I've got nowhere to stay.
Yeah. Okay. So consider asking this friend for help, Mary. That's what we're saying.
And
try and look at
it
from a different viewpoint. Take a step back.
Yeah.
Or she could find a friend that knows both of them and confide in a friend. No, actually.
No.
No.
Don't trust
them. Let's move on. I'm gonna wipe that advice from the table.
Well, okay. I've got an interesting one here from John. So, John's written in, he said, Dear Holly and Liz, we have old uni friends, Lucy and Mark, in inverted commas,
okay.
Clever old John, who live about an hour away. We've always made a point of keeping in touch, and about once a month we'll arrange a time to get together. Because of the rather awkward distance, we usually stay at one another's houses. This last time they visited us, and we had a great time, and as you can imagine, we all got quite drunk. Anyway, my wife ended up falling asleep on the sofa, so I tucked her up and went to bed. During the night, a naked body, who I thought was my wife's, got into bed next to me.
Oh, no.
After a brief cuddle, I realised that the body belonged to Lucy.
Oh.
I told her to leave my bed, which she did. And the next morning, she acted like nothing had happened. As soon as they'd left, I told my wife, who was absolutely fuming with Lucy, and said that this is typical Lucy. She confronted Lucy about this over the phone, who has begged us not to tell Mark. Now Mark and Lucy are putting the pressure on for another meeting, and we just don't want to see them. We really don't know if we should come clean and tell Mark, or just keep putting them off. We will not have her in our house again. John.
Oh gosh, I don't think they should tell Mark.
Do you not? 100% do not.
Why
not?
Because no good comes from telling your mate that your wife's cheating on you.
Or trying to.
Or trying to cheat on you.
Why does no good come from that?
Because you're the one that broke up that relationship.
No.
You are, Lucy, by telling it.
Lucy did, by climbing.
I know logic says this, but if I've watched enough rom-coms, I can tell you, Holly, do not be the one to break that bad news.
I completely disagree with you.
You would tell Mark.
I would tell Mark.
That your wife tried to shag my husband.
Yeah. I would tell Mark, because Mark might turn around. I mean, we don't know how old they are, but Mark might turn around and say, in 10 years' time, I found out that Lucy's been cheating on me for 10 years with various different people. And they might say, well, yeah, you know, we know because she tried to shag John. And then he's going to say, why didn't you tell me 10 years ago? I could have met another wife, I could have had another family.
If he wanted to know, he would know.
No, how do you know that?
You know, people know. I think people know. I think, first of all, when there's a few things that come out for me. First of all, what were the name of the couple that didn't want to shag other people called?
Who?
The couple that wrote to us, what are they called?
Oh, these ones. So John.
John and...
We don't know his wife's name.
Okay, John and...
John's wife.
John and Linda, say. Like, firstly...
John and Linda, okay.
Firstly, John and Linda, like, great, I agree with you, I do not think you should have her back in your house.
Yeah.
And secondly, you seem to have a great marriage, well done.
I love
you.
That they're on the
super
same page.
Super honest, yeah. Brilliant marriage. Yeah. You both seem like really great people. But when Linda said, typical Lucy...
Yeah.
It's Lucy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, what's that mean?
Well, they were at uni together, weren't they? So she obviously knows Lucy is a bit of a...
bit of a cheater.
Yeah. Or a bit of a flirt or whatever.
If it was me...
Yeah.
What I would do, genuinely what I would do...
Yeah.
...is not want to socialise with them anymore, because it's, the, you know...
So and, far am I.
And I would ring up Lucy again and say... Look, you know what happened. We've confronted you about this.
Yeah.
We don't want to spend time with you and your husband anymore. So it's up to you to tell Mark that, and you can tell him the real reason or make up your own reason. We don't care, but we're not going to meet up with the two of you again.
Okay.
And then I would leave it at that.
I think that's very sad for Mark, you know. I really do. Like, I'm presuming that they're quite good friends with him. And, like, me and my husband, we will often have, like, friends who live quite far away who will come and stay with us for the weekend, or we'll go and stay with them for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm putting myself in their shoes and imagining that we had, you know, a couple of friends that came to stay and that happened to us, honestly, I care enough about the men in those relationships to say, listen, you know, I don't know why she did this. Perhaps she was just really drunk, but this is what happened. We feel really uncomfortable about it. We really care about you, and we feel that you should know about it, and you can discuss it further with her.
I just don't think...
He might turn around and say, she's always doing silly things like that when she's drunk. She always regrets it the next day and feels really embarrassed. Oh, she told me about that. You know, you just don't know what he's going to say and what he knows.
I just don't think... men or women like hearing from other people critical things about their other half.
Then you're never going to like it in the short term, but in the long term he might say, do you know what, you told me about that and I didn't speak to you for a year afterwards because I was so annoyed about it.
Yeah.
But now I'm married to this wonderful woman and I feel like I continue to stay at anybody's house and we've got three beautiful children together. You know, you just don't know. You might really influence them in the end.
What we're finding out here is I'm a cup half empty person and you're a cup half full person. All the other way around. But I just don't see it going like that.
But a true friendship, you know, you can have these big fallouts over the years. But actually, if they've done the honest thing with Mark, then Mark will always know that they are real friends. So he might not speak to them for a really long time. But at some point when Lucy messes this relationship up, he is going to know that he can trust them.
Well, maybe Mark's into it too.
Maybe.
Maybe they, you know, regularly go swinging and have flings with people, and that's part of what they're like in their relationship.
I honestly very strongly think that they should speak to him.
Okay. I'm not sure, but you've convinced me more than my hard no.
Yeah.
So, you know,
if Ben ever climbs into bed with you, I'm really rather you told me.
Okay.
If Ben's naked body comes and cuddles,
I mean, you'll hear my scream from the other part of the country I'm in, of outrage that he could even think of cheating on, you know, Holly. Oh gosh.
I would want to know in the long term. I might feel bruised, but in the long run, then you would want to know.
Well, I think that's about it for this week. We're just at about time.
Ending on an indecisive one there.
Indecisive notes. So what have we covered? We've had Heidi and her gender reveal party.
Gender reveal, that's so ridiculous.
Yeah. We had our Mary and her £300 in the boiler. Gosh.
We had the harlot that is Lucy.
We had Lucy. And
I can't even remember what else we talked about. I'm still fuming about Lucy.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine anyone ever doing that, but clearly
it's happened to me actually.
Some guy got into bed with you.
Yeah, one of Ben's friends.
Are you joking?
No.
Did you tell his wife?
He wasn't married.
Oh right. Okay.
But like I told Ben straight away, we're still friends with him. He was like, oh, that's typical bride.
Are you joking? Did you not punch him out?
Oh no, Ben's not like that. But like I'm really, really good friends with this guy.
Well, that is a whole story for a different time.
Bye bye.
Okay, so tune in next week, guys.
Yeah, bye.
Don't forget to visit us at advicejustgotreal.com, where you can send us your questions, and we're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, Advice Just Got Real @ Holly and Liz.